Finish strong here in the fourth quarter. 913-310-810, the phone number, 913-310-810. As we drive you home, a little Chiefs talk coming your way this hour. We'll take your phone calls as well if you want to chime in. Hit me up on the Twitter, at SorenPetro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. I always like Coordinator Day. Am I the only one? Jed Marshall running the operation. The big man, Curtis Siebelt, on vacation today. He'll be back with us tomorrow, and then Jed bails on us.
Yes, sir. One more hour.
Yeah.
Finish strong.
Big three-day weekend.
Yeah, I'm doing nothing, getting actually like stuff around my apartment done. It's going to be sick.
Actually, the intern in for Curtis Siebelt on the Sports Centers today. Does he have one more, or is that the last one?
Last one.
That was it. So we'll take your grades. You can hit me up on the Twitter, at SorenPetro. What do you think? What do you give him, Jed?
Maybe it's just because the weather's been a little bit dreary, but he didn't have quite the energy that I'm used to from Blake.
I kept telling him, energy. I'm like, where's your energy? Where's your energy been? I'm asking you.
There's an open mic in front of you.
Oh, man.
Where was the energy? Are you tired? Were you up late? Were you boozing all night? What happened?
No, yes and no. I was up late, but I was not boozing.
Not boozing. All right.
What do you do if you're not boozing? We're just staying up watching movies? That's no good.
We may not want to know. Let's. He's not an employee, so we can't. We have no recourse.
Fair. You,
yeah, be careful.
I need to know about these grades, though. I hope it's better than my college GPA.
No. You're a very talented orator. Like, your addiction and ability to get through stuff, Curtis and I have talked about this, is outstanding. But you seem like you're not excited about your topic. Now, there are a lot of people in this industry that I call false energy that are going to scream and yell and get upset about, you know, every day they got something to be pissed about, or they're going to yell, or they're super excited, or I call it false energy, and it's like, I don't really have anything to say, so I'm going to say it really loud. And then you'll think it's important. The rain is coming down. Who gives a crap? Calm down. That kind of thing drives me crazy, but, you know, you're like, well, the Astros tonight, they're going to take on a winner-take-all series. Well,
pretty big game. I guess it's a big deal.
You should say it's a pretty big game, you know. My team's going to go home.
Are you ready?
Yeah, something like that would have been better.
Even that. He just whispered it.
I know you.
I didn't even know if my mic was on.
Yeah, it's on. That is one of the fun things about this studio, isn't it? That you don't get to handle your own mics. You just never know.
I like it. It gives me job security.
It gives you a lot of power.
It does give you a lot of power. Just assume it's on at this point in your career. I will tell you, it's a minor miracle. Blair Kirchhoff in his car driving home now, he knows this, that we haven't been, I haven't been, we. I haven't been caught with a mic left on during the break.
I may turn your mics on early when we come back from segments, which you don't really appreciate, but when we go to break, no, I make sure that those bad boys are off.
Very important. Very important part of the equation. All right, I like Coordinator Day because I think the coordinators are a little bit looser than Andy Reid when it comes to details about the team, so I think you can, I'm not saying you always do, you can get maybe a little bit more out of them. You know, Eric Bieniemy can be a challenge because he's got a lot of coach speak. We'll get to him in a minute, but let's start with Tyrann Mathieu. I think it's one of the interesting parts of this game. And, you know, we're talking about you not having energy. It wasn't exactly – this is just his answer, right? Good, because my question kind of sucked. So anyone who heard it live during the zone may have heard my bumbling, babbling question. It was no Jim. By the way, nobody called me out on – you guys, you didn't even notice that last week when we had Steve Spagnuolo on. I said talk about. That's my biggest pet peeve. There you go, actually. Don't ever sit there. And I've heard, and Scott Van Pelt, I was so happy, like last year, said that's one of his pet peeves as well. I was like, well, I got pretty good company. I think Van Pelt's really good. And he's like, you know, telling him, talk about the game tonight. Talk about scoring 50. talk about hitting that home run. No. Right? That's, if I were a ball player, I'd go, no.
Was it Chris Sale who actually did that when, yes, when one of the Boston media humps, yes, went there and did that?
I loved it. I loved it. It's the, and I did that. And I heard it come out of my mouth, and then I kept going and said something and then finished with a question. But, oh, my God, I felt like I was 100, and my temperature went from, you know, 98.6 to 150. I could just feel the sweats. Oh, God, you just said talk about. God, it's the worst. I hate that. Anyway, I wasn't that bad with Tyrann Mathieu, but I wanted to get at the fact, because I think this is an interesting game. I said the other day that Frank Clark needs to have a sack or two. This is a game where Frank Clark might bust out and have a really big game, because Deshaun Watson is there to be sacked. And Eric Eager's point that quarterbacks control sacks or pass rush or pressures maybe as much or more than offensive lines, I think, is a great one. And Deshaun Watson's got escapability. What he doesn't have is that clock on when it's time to give it up. He doesn't ever give it up. And so he's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL. You know who else, at least right now? Now, Deshaun Watson's been around the block a couple of times, so I think this is more just who he is. But Kyler Murray is also getting sacked a tremendous amount. You know, guys that can keep the play alive. That's the thing that's amazing about Patrick Mahomes. He's probably not quite – he's definitely not as elusive as Kyler Murray. And – you know, I'd have to go back and look at some athletic testing, you know, some 40 times and shuttle runs, if any of the quarterbacks even do that. My sense is that Deshaun Watson's more athletic than Patrick Mahomes. But Mahomes knows when to evade and knows when to give up and just bail on it. Just throw it away. And he also is not a stat monger to where he doesn't mind that his completion percentage went down. I think there's some quarterbacks that would rather take the light sack than throw an incompletion and hurt their passer rating. I don't think Patrick Mahomes gives a crap about any of these stats. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think you can kind of see in his eyes when I will start talking to him about a record and I'm sitting there looking at him. There's kind of like, I do that. Not arrogance, not at all arrogant, but just an appreciation for what it is, because I think he's a student of the game and understands those that have come before him and what they can do. And when he does something great, I'm sure it feels great, right? Anybody does, has a good day at work, you feel good. You're in sales, you set a monthly record, you feel good. You did that. You did a good job. Everybody should do it. I'll tell you who should feel good, by the way. Everybody paving roads in this town should feel good, because I am blown away with how crappy our roads were in the spring to how good so many of them are now. So give yourself a round of applause if you work on any of the road crews that have been paving the roads, because I think it's been remarkable. But you do a good job, you look back, it's all right to feel good about having done a good job. But so anyway, my point is with Mahomes, and I read the email again, and I emailed with the guy, and of course I don't have his name in front of me, but the gentleman who talked to me about these spatial awareness studies that are going on in other sports, mostly in Europe, and that how Patrick Mahomes probably tests off the chart for it. And I think he does. And I think part of that great spatial awareness that allows him to throw darts and to put the ball down the field and into tight windows is also part of where he knows, I can evade and get away from this guy. I can't get away from this guy, so I'm going to throw the ball away. Deshaun Watson doesn't have that. And so I was trying to point out that, listen, Deshaun Watson's a very sackable quarterback. Right, he gives up a lot of sacks, but a lot of times it's because he keeps running around in the pocket. So then there's pressure on the coverage, right? If he's going to run around, then he's buying time. Even if he eventually goes down a lot, there are also times that he's buying extra time. So I asked Mathieu how important it is maintaining their coverage against a quarterback like Watson.
Well, I think, you know, any time you play a dual threat quarterback, that's always an emphasis. And we got to understand, you know, they got a healthy team, you know, this year, which they didn't necessarily have last year. So they got options, you know, weapons all over the field. And so they present a challenge from that as well. So we got to do a good job of just, you know, obviously keeping him in the pocket. And we got to do a good play physical, you know, press man on the outside and just compete with those guys through the ground, especially Hopkins. He's gonna be in position to catch most balls. I think the attitude we got to have is to take him to the ground with the ball, you know, and finish every play.
this is a guy that they can get healthy on. I think the spread dropping from 7.5 down to 4.5 is largely being fueled by the Chiefs losing a game and so much being made of their inability to stop the run and their bad defensive statistics. But I think that's being overblown. And so to me, I am optimistic that they are going to have a better go of it in this game. Because I think the Texans actually play into their hands. I think that is something that we're going to see. That defensively, we're going to see more of, say, the first three games Chiefs defense, just because I think the fact that Deshaun Watson won't get rid of the ball, even without Chris Jones, they're going to be able to get some pressure. I think Spagnuolo is going to bring the pressure more. We saw Will Fuller have a big day last week. You know DeAndre Hopkins can have a big day. Kiki Kuti, which, by the way, that's the pronunciation that was told to me by Patrick Mahomes, his college teammate. So if you are screaming at the radio that I have it wrong, then take it up with Patrick Mahomes. But I think they do have a good receiving core, but I think that they're going to have to bring it up front because some of the guys are down. And so I think we might get – I think we're going to get more of an up-and-down game. And I don't think the Texans are going to go into a shell and just grind out the run. Steve Spagnuolo was asked about the running part of the equation for the Houston Texans. The guy who's going to do the running is, at least first and foremost, going to be Carlos Hyde. Duke Johnson came over. A lot of people thought he might be the number one back. He's not. Occupying a similar role to what he had in Cleveland as kind of the third down guy, Carlos Hyde has been the bell cow. Early numbers were great. More recent numbers haven't been so spectacular. Spagnuolo asked today how unique it'll be to face a guy that he's already seen from doing having reps against the Chiefs offense and Carlos Hyde back in training camp.
Oh, Carlos? Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it that way because we're defending the scheme and a new team. He's in a new uniform. But in the scheme, you know, the runs here, I mean, we all know that we don't face a lot of runs in practice because our offense is not built that way. But I see a player that really fits the system and what they're doing down there, and he's doing a really good job at it.
Listen, they're all going to be complimentary. The part of that answer that got all the run today was that we don't face a lot of runs in practice. All right, let's break it down. It got a lot of run because I think most people thought this was Steve Spagnuolo making an excuse. That's what I thought. That's where I thought the vibe was. I would make the case that if you're going to have frustration and it's going to get all fired up, it's that the Chiefs offense isn't practicing the run enough. What's your reaction to him making that statement, Jed?
I guess I didn't really take it that way. I just looked at it more as an acknowledgement that maybe the Chiefs recognize the fact that they're limited in the run game and that their offense isn't predicated on the run. So I think that's Steve Spagnuolo being comfortable enough in his own skin to actually admit something. Maybe that was how I took it when I was listening to it today.
I agree. And I get it. I don't agree with any outrage coming from that statement from Steve Spagnuolo. First of all, he hadn't been in town long enough for anybody to think they've got a beat on what the guy definitely means about anything. So I think he deserves right. Also, he didn't put this whole group together. He inherited much of it. He had a say in part of it, and it's still very early on in his tenure. I know we're frustrated. I know we want to win a Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl is not going to be played this week. So while we do look at everything and say, okay, where are we getting to? Where are we going with this team? And we want the team to be at a point to where it can win a Super Bowl, win playoff games. The fact that it's not there right now is not a critical error. It does not mean that everything is, you know, going to hell in a handbasket. It just means that they're not playing at a Super Bowl level right now. That's what it means. So I think everybody needs to be a little more patient and a little more calm when it comes to everything Spagnuolo is saying. If your frustration is that Spagnuolo is saying, well, we don't really practice the run, we'll practice it more. I think it's an intriguing soundbite because it brings up the conversation, if you're Andy Reid, what do you want to be doing? Right? Is Andy Reid a coach? Like, we don't get to see all the practices. Is he a coach that the practices are run to make his offense better, and the defense has to try to get done what they can get done while he makes the offense better. Interesting. I'm curious. I don't know. Is Steve Spagnuolo just saying something to CYA, or really, I think, more cover his players' rear end? I don't think Steve Spagnuolo is the type of guy. The times I've been around him, that's like going to go out there and do anything. I think he is the ultimate selfless coach and leader, and he's going to put it all on himself. And he's just like Andy Reid in the sense that I got to do better. I got to put him in better spots. Listen, their linebacking core is not great. Their corners are not great. They are not going to be a great defense. I've seen enough now through 5 weeks to tell you this is not going to be a great defense. Can it be a, for lack of a better term, push and pester defense that gets a couple of key turnovers with a dynamic offense and a great special teams, which we haven't seen yet, which we'll get to in a minute, that goes and wins the Super Bowl? I am still optimistic that it could be. But, you know, Steve Spagnuolo's comments about this team, about his defense, are not going to be what makes or breaks this team's run to the Super Bowl. But I do think it's very interesting what he had to say about, well, we know our offense doesn't run the ball, so we don't practice against it that much. It leads me to believe that the defense runs its sets, the offense runs its sets, and there's not a lot of scout team looks. That practice time is being used to get the offense to where it needs to be and the defense. And I think you got to – I mean, is there a scout team? Of course there is. But is there a lot of it? Doesn't sound like it from the comments of Steve Spagnuolo. Let's jump down to the Bieniemy running game one, Jed, because that's the flip side of it is, right? They didn't run the ball well. On a day where the defensive coordinator says, well, you know, we don't practice that much against the run because our offense doesn't run it. Right. So when he says that, it begs the question, well, perhaps is that why as an offense you weren't good running the ball? So I asked Eric Bieniemy. I said, look, I know there's another team out there getting paid to do a job. Sometimes you just get beat. You tip your cap to them and say, OK, hey, they did a good job. But can you be an effective running team if you throw like seven times and then say, I'm going to run it? Like, do you have to get into a mindset? Do you need to run the ball to be good at it? I asked Eric Bieniemy basically that. Do you have to get into a rhythm? Do you have to run the ball? Why was it that you didn't get the run game going?
No, I just think it was the flow of the game. You never try not to hand the ball off, being a former running back coach. But it was just the flow of the game. We were still looking for a rhythm, trying to make things happen, got into a passing mode. But when it's all said and done with, we just got to play better. And that's what this game is about. And on top of that, giving ourselves an opportunity to move the chains, create more opportunities for us to have additional plays. But it also puts us in position to score. And that's when all the other players get involved in the offense.
As a running back, you know, for you, the back, but also the offensive line, do you need to run? Do you need to, quote, unquote, pound the rock to be effective in the run? Or can you throw the ball 12 times in a row and then be really efficient running the ball as well?
Well, the player in me will always say you got to run it 15 to 20 times, you know what I mean, in order to get yourself ready. But the way we do things here, these guys know, you know, we're going to throw the ball, we're going to run it, okay? At the end of the day, we're getting paid to do a job. We expect us to be great anytime we call a play. When it's all said and done with, and I know this is coaches talk, every play that we design is designed to score a touchdown. So when we call a play, and it may be every 15 snaps or whatever, we expect that play to be productive. We expect our players to be efficient. We expect us to go out there and do what is asked of us to do. So, but at the end of the day, I will say this again. As a unit, as a coaching staff, we have got to be better. And we will be better.
I appreciate him, you know, saying we're going to be better. I'll say this. Every play is not designed to score a touchdown. Unless there's a new revolution in the NFL. Okay? Plays are designed to get into the open field, but designed to score a touchdown? If that's true, then they should start designing some that aren't. Not that are designed to lose yards. Oh, no, that's not what I'm getting at before you freak out and crash your car on your drive home. You need to design some plays that are designed to get 2 yards when you need one. You need to design some plays that are designed to get 10 yards when you need seven. Because if all you're doing is trying to score touchdowns, that's where you leave your gimpy-legged quarterback in back with an offensive line that is decimated by injuries and is breaking down, and you're screwed. You know, read Sun Tzu's Art of War. I've read little blurbs written by other people. But what I hear it's about, not to act like I've read Sun Tzu's Art of War. I do own it. I think it's neat to sit on my bookshelf. Never actually read it, but I've read about what it says. The point is, like, every war is not one that you just barrel forward like the Redcoats in the Revolutionary War. Well, we're just going to have a tougher will, and we don't care how many men die up front. That's not it. Likewise, you can't be, we're going to score on every play. Well, that's not going to happen, so you're setting yourself up for failure. If that is the mindset, it speaks to why some of the plays didn't work. You've got to chip. You've got to help Cam Irving. You've got to run some different stuff to help Hunter. I don't know, what was that guy's first name? John? Jonathan? James? Jay? Not going to be here anymore, I think it was. You know, so I thought that was interesting. I always believe we got to run the ball, but at the end of the day, and I don't know if you know this, but he likes to get to the end of the day a lot. At the end of the day, Eric Bieniemy said, we got to go out and execute whatever the play is called. Well, dur. Now, Brian Waters told me that a long time ago. We don't have time to argue about what the play call is. The only chance of success we have is going out and running the play that's been called and doing our best to execute it. But in the game planning, you get to pick what plays you're going to run. And I think the Chiefs got beaten. I think this was largely, you know, talent was always a big factor in it, but I think the Colts win this one from a coaching matchup. Everyone's heard the numbers now. Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, usually blitzes or usually plays man like 24% of the time. He was in man like 74% of the time. The Chiefs weren't ready for that. Travis Kelce kind of hinted at that, and they didn't really have the game plan for it. And maybe it's because they had game plan for the tendencies of what the Colts are, and they'd game plan for every play to be a big play. Sometimes you got to get in the mud and win a slugfest. They almost did it. There's no reason to panic. They still almost won this game. And a day that they really had a bad plan. Offensively, they had a bad plan. Defensively, right now, we have no reason to believe that they can stop the run. So the offensive game plan also has to include protecting a defense that cannot get the opposition off the field if they're any good at running the ball. So you have to plan accordingly. Listen, if they score a touchdown every time, there's no such thing as scoring too fast. That was the thing, that was the big takeaway that came away from the Vermeil era that I thought was completely wrong. I think there were people around the organization that didn't like Al Saunders. They thought he was arrogant. Al Saunders just wants to set records. He just wants to pile things up. Al Saunders did nothing wrong from the standpoint of every time they scored. Every time you score, that's a good thing. You put your defense out there, there's still an opportunity. The other team will just give you the ball. Fumble the kickoff, fumble dropping back, throw an interception. Right? I never have a fault with scoring. If you can score a touchdown in one play every time, do it. Because you know what? You'll never lose. If you do, it'll be on some two-point conversion contest between you and your opposition. But you do have to recognize that you're not going to score on every play. So along the way, you do have to possess the ball. And I think it's one of the things that this team has to take a look at. One, they got to be ready. Man-to-man's coming. Tyreek Hill's the ultimate man-to-man buster. Jeff Chedia showed me some numbers. Patrick Mahomes' numbers against man-to-man. He's got 2 touchdowns, I think it is, against zone. He's got 9. The passer rating's night and day. The numbers of Patrick Mahomes with and without Tyreek Hill against man-to-man are night and day. Tyreek Hill will bust man-to-man. So you got to decide in this game, as Tyreek Hill's getting ready, how important this game is. Because you definitely need Tyreek Hill to bust man-to-man coverage off what we've seen so far. So sending him out there to get hurt again is a bad idea, unless you think you got to have this game. You can't win this game without him, and you got to have it. Then maybe you push it. I don't think we're at that point with the Chiefs yet. Not yet. We got some more we'll play coming up. Also take your phone calls. Got the caller on the line, 913-3810-810. If you want to grab a line, want to hear a little bit of Dave Tobe. I thought he gave us some great insight into what goes into special teams. We'll hear that coming up next. Grab a phone line, 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
New time, same team. The program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Take your phone calls. We're talking some Chiefs football. Here's some more from the coordinators. 913-3810-810, the phone number. First, let's talk to our man, Todd Lebo. Lebo is in Brookside at the Brooksider. And I hear you got Chiefs tickets, Todd.
Got Chiefs tickets, courtesy of Bud Light, and also tailgate passes to their party they have in Lot M. So this is a double dip for you if you want to come down here. And I got to tell you, the rain, I think, kept some people away early, so you've just got a little bit of time. You got to get here by 6. But swing in here, I think you've got some pretty good odds if you'd like to win these tickets. Got a pair of tickets to the game on Sunday, Chiefs and Texans, and tailgate passes. And all you have to do is come by and sign up, and we'll draw a name out. And then you could be a winner. I know there's people are a little bit down right now, sir. And the Chiefs lost Sunday. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
They lost. So there's a lot of apprehension around here. I'm like, what are you talking about? Come watch this game. It's Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. I think this is one of the more exciting games you'll have at Arrowhead Stadium this year. They've got a pretty good home schedule.
I agree. I don't know why you wouldn't want to go see this. This is, 1A and 1B? Was that what, who was it who said that? Was it Honey Badger? Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu today said this is quarterback 1A and 1B. This is the next guard, and this could very well be, you know, Manning Brady for the next 10 years, and you're getting a chance to see the first chapter of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. So you just come on down to the Brooksider, 6330 Brookside Boulevard, and we'll be here. I got Rudy Salazar with me. We're signing people up. We've also got our Insider magazines and koozies and keychains. I did have a guy walk up and said he just wanted a keychain. You want to sign up for tickets? He said, I'll take the keychain. I'm like, what's going on with you? But whatever. That's how people are.
It should be pointed out it's an 810 bottle opener keychain, correct?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
You should have one with you at all times.
Always be ready. You never know when you're going to get a bottle that's not a twist-off.
One,
be ready.
One with every cooler you own, one in every vehicle you own, perhaps one in every jacket you own. You always want to be ready to go.
Always, always ready to go. I have one in the trunk of every car, just in case you're tailgate. Someone's like,
yes.
Oh, I can't open this. Well, look here. I've got a Sports Radio 810 opener. You're ready to go.
All right, Lebo, one more time. Where you at?
We're at the Brooksider down in Brookside. And just swing on down here. We're only here till 6, so you got to hustle. Get in here. Several people said, hey, I heard your pop. They just drove right in. So come on in. Get yourself a parking place. Be here till 6. Pair of tickets. Chiefs, Texans, Sunday, Arrowhead Stadium, and tailgate passes to the Bud Light tailgate. And this is all courtesy of us, Sports Radio 810 and Bud Light. We'll be here till 6.
All right, Todd. Great stuff, buddy. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
All right, Todd Lebo down at the Brooksider in Brookside, as he pointed out. Very important distinction because there actually is a Brooksider in Surprise, Arizona. So we don't want to be sending you to the Brooksider in Surprise.
He's not at that one, though?
No, okay. He's in Brookside.
Good distinction.
Yes, very important distinction to make there. 913-3810-810. I want to hear some more from the coordinators. First, though, the caller wants to chime in on Steve Spagnuolo's comments. Caller, what's going on, buddy?
I appreciate the bandwidth, man. I just want to clarify, please bring me down from the aneurysm I'm currently having. Did Spagnuolo really intimate that the reason why we suck so bad against the run is because we don't practice against the run enough? Did he actually make that intimation? I want
no.
to get clarity on that.
No, he did not.
Okay. I was getting really confused by that. I was hoping he didn't make that intimation. Thank you.
I think this is part of the reason why I think a lot of people have reacted that way to it, standing there looking at the man, listening to the entire conversation that he was having. I absolutely do not believe that's what he was saying. I think he gave you an honest answer, but you actually, I mean, let's be honest. You get a lot more from Steve Spagnuolo than you do Eric Bieniemy, but you want to know why you don't get much from Eric Bieniemy? Because people overreact to any little piece of information and they take it to the negative, most negative nth degree as possible.
Okay,
I get you having that reaction. But I would ask you, until Steve Spagnuolo proves to constantly be an excuse maker, to say, okay, what other possible, you know, reasons could he have for saying this? And I think it was about talking about all the different things that go into stopping the run. And
okay.
That
let me get my car out of the ditch on 69 Highway.
Yeah.
That was the reaction when I heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because and I hear you, and a lot of people did as well. And that's why I said, look, the guy is nothing that I have seen about the man or heard about the man from people who have covered him in other places say, this is a guy that's going to go out there and just make excuses and be like, well, it's somebody else's fault. I can tell you, like, but if what you want to hear is everybody say at the end of the day, we're here to try to do a good job, that's what you get. That's how Eric Bieniemy gets to be Eric Bieniemy. Because it's really rough to get anything out of Eric Bieniemy. I'm going to tell you that right now. I appreciate that Steve Spagnuolo actually tries to give a thoughtful answer. And listen, I don't really care, caller, what, you know, you having that reaction, but it's a lot of people with jobs like mine that don't want to do, in my opinion, the little bit of legwork and want to take the low-hanging fruit and be like, can you believe this? This guy's blaming Andy Reid. He's blaming Andy Reid for why they can't stop the ball, because the offense doesn't run the ball enough. You've heard it. You've heard it a million times. That's crap. That's not at all what Steve Spagnuolo is saying. And listen, if what you want is to be the loudmouth at the bar with a couple of Coronas in you and think you got a clever line, I heard Steve Spagnuolo say, I'm going to tell you that's not at all what he was saying. Not at all what he was saying. All right, I want to get to Dave Tobe, special teams coach, and I'll continue to take your phone calls as well, but there's a couple of interesting ones I want to get to. 913-3810-810. I do think the roster situation is interesting, and we played this one earlier, but I want to play it again. I asked Tobe whether the move from a 3-4 to a 4-3, plus all the injuries that have begun to occur, makes it more difficult on him from a roster standpoint.
Anytime you have injuries, you feel a roster crunch. I used to think that, you know, I was a 4-3. We had a 4-3 at Chicago, and then I always looked, 3-4 is better, and then we had a 3-4 here, and then I said, no, it's not so much. You're better off with a 4-3 because you have three linebackers that can run. Those two outs, now you only have two with 3-4. The two outside guys are bigger guys that aren't as fast. So it seems, just because they're linebackers, it seems like, you know, from the outside looking in, that it's going to be better, but it's really not. 4-3 is actually better. But anytime you have injuries, it affects you on special teams, and, you know, and we're in that situation right now.
I do think they're affected on special teams by the fact that they are chasing the offensive and defensive line, because O-linemen and D-linemen are not great special teamers. Some 4-3 DNs can be guys that can be some of your protection in the middle, but the coverage guys to get down the field, the guys to create the wedge, and certainly the returners are not going to be O-line and D-line. And I do think they're starting to get – they're very heavy on it, the quantity of offensive linemen that they're carrying. And so I do think it's of note that this team has not been as explosive in the return game. Now, first of all, I'm not the biggest fan of DeAnthony Thomas as a returner, and I don't get this organization's fascination with him. I am open to the fact that I'm missing something. They always talk about his coverage being a big part of it. I know he's not been a big-time return guy, but I'm also open to the idea that they're carrying a lot of offensive linemen for some reason. They're having to carry defensive linemen because of the injuries, and they've got injuries to a guy like Dorian O'Daniel, who should be a key special teams guy. And so the blocking in front of the kick return and the punt return is not what it normally is, and they're not getting those explosive plays. And if they get a kick return for a touchdown in the last game, then maybe they get away with a win against the Colts. That element of the game hasn't been there yet for the Chiefs. Jim, you're in the program. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
I think what he was trying to say, and if, you know, hey, if you've been in sports, you know, but when the Chiefs had great running games and lower than good quarterback play, what were our defenses usually known for? Being really tough and stout against the run, and if you beat the Chiefs, you usually threw on them. That's what they did all the time. And I think it correlates to basketball. Teams who fast break and run a lot generally suffer at, you know, set place offense, and vice versa. You know, you just don't have time to be or the personnel to be perfect in at all.
I'm with you on that. I've said that a lot when it comes to college basketball. I mean, you got to pick an identity of what you're going to be. You're not going to be a great fast break, a great slow it down, a great inbound, great defend the inbound, a great pressing team, a great zone team, great man-to-man. You got to pick what you're going to be, and you work on it. And I think there's something to that. Yeah, I mean, listen, the Chiefs hate this term, but they're a finesse team. Right, that's what they are. And I do think what Steve Spagnuolo said, are you saying they're not good against the run because they don't practice against it? Yeah, and I think there's truth in that. But I think we want the offense to throw it around. We've got the quarterback. So if that means you've got to sacrifice a little bit with your run defense, then you do it. Now, is that exclusively why they've given up 180 in three straight games? Absolutely not. Is there a talent deficiency? I think so. Is there a scheme problem? Very well could be.
Yeah, but you can learn to be tough. And when you get smashed in the mouth every day at practice, you know, you learn what you have to do to compensate.
But if you're not getting smashed in the mouth because the offense doesn't smash people in the mouth, would you like to give away all the high flying passing and just become a grinded out smash mouth Marty Schottenheimer offense?
I would not. But that just goes back to the point that you got to find a way to protect your quarterback so you can throw the ball. So everybody's talking about who are we going to go get? Go get us an offensive lineman and keep Mahomes standing on his feet.
Well, I'm with you on that, Jim, and I kind of like the idea, and thank you. And I brought it up, although I don't think there's really any interest from the Chiefs from what I hear in the tackle from Washington, Trent Johnson, who's holding out right now. I like the idea of going and getting him. I don't like the idea of two first-round picks, just like I don't like two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. I like the idea of going and getting him if you can get the price right and if the contract would be right. But if he wants to be the highest-paid offensive tackle in the history of the game and it's Redskins want two first-round picks, it's not even an option. But I like the idea of getting him and moving Eric Fisher down to guard and then walking on Fisher after next year.
I gave you the wrong name. I said Trent Johnson, former TCU basketball coach. Trent Williams.
Trent Williams, thank you. So you had a Petro.
Yes, I've been hanging out with you too much.
Yeah, Trent Williams. I think that would be a nice addition to this team. All right, real quick, Tommy, you're in the program. What's going on, Tommy?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, buddy. What do you got for us?
I'm wondering if the Chiefs need to consider rethinking the philosophy of deferring if they win the flip. Deferring to the second half and taking the ball and driving down and scoring first, so that way you're putting, instead of relying on your defense to make a stop, now you're changing the opponent's philosophy a little bit to where, okay, they've already scored, now we can't just settle on the run and just keep running out the clock. So
have they been scoring on their first drive, scoring touchdowns on their first drive?
No, but
that's, so why would taking the ball change that?
What I'm saying is it's not just that, but they would have to be scheming to where they really need to be a little more aggressive on trying to score on the first. Not that they're not, but it's an idea.
No, I mean, I hear – listen, it comes down to this. I mean, you and Tommy, thank you for the call. Every offensive series is designed to go down the field and get a touchdown. I don't buy that every play is designed for that. But I definitely believe that every series they want to go down and score a touchdown. Sometimes they're up by 10 with 6 to go and they want to burn all the clock off while they do it. But every drive is designed to score a touchdown. So whether you take the ball or defer is not going to change in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion, whether or not you're going to score a touchdown. You're going to score based upon whether or not you've game planned and schemed. Therefore, if you defer, you have an opportunity to get back-to-back scores. You have an opportunity to then steal the extra possession. And so I would defer every single time. Your defense is going to have to stop people. The Chiefs generally have like 10 and a quarter possessions per game. Either way, I the more times I can get the ball in the offense, and if I can get it at the end of the half where I know I can maybe freeze out the clock and be the last one to have it and then turn around and get the ball again, to me that's a backbreaker. And that's what this offense can do. And they did it a lot last year by deferring, getting the stop, and scoring at the end of the first half and then scoring on the first drive. They broke a lot of backs last year, and I definitely think that's the right way to do it. Listen, you lose a game, and supposedly now all of a sudden every single thing you did sucks. Wrong. Damian Williams short-armed a ball at the back of the end zone. That would have been a touchdown. They settled for a field goal. Patrick Mahomes overthrew DeMarcus Robinson down the right sideline. They ended up punting. He catches that ball in stride. He goes in for the end zone. That's 11 more points for this team. Convert the fourth down. Or Pringle, get the first down. Go down and get points. That is more points for this team. There were numerous plays throughout the course of this game where they could have had this be a typical Chiefs game. They just didn't make them. It didn't come down to whether they deferred or didn't defer. We'll take a break, come back, give you some things you need to know next here in the program.
A new way to end your day. The program. Now from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a couple things you need to know on our way out the door. Colin Kaepernick's representatives say they reached out to all 32 NFL teams about possible opportunities. Little to no response. Not staggering, but just confirmation. Shad Khan said he recently had a heart-to-heart with Jalen Ramsey. That's the owner of the Jaguars. He thinks the disgruntled cornerback will be back on the field against the Saints on Sunday. The Bengals axed any speculation about a potential trade of wide receiver A.J. Green. Quote, we're not trading that guy, said Zach Taylor, who apparently has to speak for the entire front office about everything. Gabe Kapler out as the Phillies manager. Joe Girardi, 8-hour interview with the Cubs. I would guess that's going well. Anibal Sanchez going to start for the Nationals. The Cardinals will start Miles Mikolas in a series that the Nationals are favored minus 120 in. We will see you tomorrow here in the program. We'll